Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast, and this is our TV coverage of Comic-Con 2013. Ah, I said 13 weird. If you're a new listener, I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Michelle.
And I'm a guest, Rory.
Rory. For the new listeners, we're usually a podcast that does like lists, like top five favorite comedies, top five favorite this. But today we're just doing our Comic-Con coverage for TV. We also did a film one you could check out at iTunes or our website. And we're going to also do like a wrap-up. Our third Comic-Con will be of like video games and panels and different stuff we saw. Not panels. Booths, sorry. And different experiences we had outside of Comic-Con. Yes, Michelle? So we're talking about TV, all the TV stuff we saw, all the panels, all the sneak peeks. And I'll have Michelle start us off because she saw most of it.
I'm a big TV person, so I had a very different Comic-Con than Ricardo. He did most of the film panels, whereas I spent most of my time in Ballroom 20, which is where the TV tends to happen. It's a slightly smaller ballroom than the famous Hall H. It's only seats 4,000. So I started my Comic-Con Thursday completely. I spent the day in Ballroom 20 for all the TV stuff. I actually did spend the night outside Wednesday night. I got there at about midnight. I was approximately 150 in line for Ballroom 20. And that was because on Thursday, it was the 20th anniversary X-Files panel. That's right. David Duchovny, Gillian Anderson, and Chris Carter were there. It was amazing. I'll tell you all about it. But let me go over a few of the things that happened before the X-Files came on. Because like I said, I was there all day. You know what gets you when you get there at midnight? What you get? First row center. So I was pretty excited by that. It was mostly a good day. There was a couple things. So the first panel up was for Intelligence, which is a brand new CBS show coming out starring Josh Holloway. We watched the whole pilot. I'm going to have to give it a couple more episodes. I was not sold on it. It had it was like the $6 million man, kind of a little bit of Chuck, kind of a little bit CSI. And I have a hard time believing Josh Holloway to be like a genius in any way. Basically, the idea of this show is that
it's like believing Matthew McConaughey is a genius.
Yeah, it's a little tough because like he's been implanted with this thing that allows him to constantly be able to see like connect into Wi-Fi and the internet through his brain, so he knows everything because he can just connect into.
To the
internet. I just got cut off for a second.
Okay. I'm like, I don't need to hear you.
You're like, Josh Holloway's dumb, click. and it's just because he's sort of like almost a Sherlockian kind of character where he can look at a room and he knows everything because he can get into the internet and he knows everything about everybody. But you know what? Josh Holloway's cute, so it wasn't a terrible panel to have to sit through because he's kind of handsome to look at. The next show that they did was called Starcrossed. This is a CW show.
Yeah, that's our cat.
Penny agrees that it's pretty terrible. So basically, the idea of Starcrossed is these aliens have crash landed on the planet, and there's children aliens, and the children aliens are the humans are scared of all the aliens, and it's bad, and they're separated kind of like District 9 and like a ghetto area. But of course, one of the human girls just falls in love with one of the alien boys.
This is like V.
Yeah, right? Well, it's Romeo and Juliet in an alien takeover sort of situation.
Everything that comes out in the CW,
the cast is very pretty.
If you're under 18, you watch the CW. If you're not under 18, if you're older 18, you don't watch it. I've never watched a CW show.
It's a very pretty.
I watched it.
It's a very pretty cast. And here's the thing with Starcrossed. The most enjoyable, we watched the whole pilot. The most enjoyable thing about this pilot was the lady sitting behind me was doing like Mystery Science Theater 3K, like snarky comments the whole time. And I was like, that made me enjoy the show immensely. Because, you know, they even had the will they, won't they kiss in the pilot and they get really close and then the sirens go off so they have to run off in opposite directions. And it's like, oh no, they didn't get to kiss. So it's kind of really, I'm probably not going to watch this show. But I don't watch anything on the CW. So maybe that's just, I'm not their target audience. Okay, so after Starcrossed is another CW show that I don't watch, and that's Beauty and the Beast. This one, I don't know anything about the show other than I've seen the Beauty and the Beast movies and I've read the book. Here's what I gather from the clips that they showed us and the panel. The really, really hot, handsome guy with a slight scar on his face is the Beast. And the really cute cop girl who was in Superman, the TV show Smallville, Kristen Kruick, she's adorable, by the way. She's Beauty. And then they have sex a lot.
Is there a guest on?
I don't know. There wasn't one in the panel, or if there was, I didn't get it. Like I said, I've never seen the show, so I'm trying to guess. I mean, from the clips I saw, they do have sex a lot.
Oh.
That happens a lot. And then, the guy from Heroes, Mohinder, from Heroes is in it.
Mohinder.
From gotcha. Thank you. Mohinder from Heroes is in it, and he lifts a car up once in a clip. I don't know what that means.
Wait, so is he a beast too? Is there more than one beast?
I think that's what it is, because he had scars on his face too, and it seems to be if you have scars on your face, you're somehow a beast.
Naturally.
Or something. So I don't know. Whatever. That's as much as I got out of that. Kristen Kruick is adorable. Yeah, like, duh. Okay. And the beast guy is really handsome, so I didn't hate looking at him either. I'm like, how are you a beast? Okay. Whatever. I'll buy it. After that panel, there was a little bit of a break, and it was like, wow, haven't seen anything that good so far. But then Psych happened, and I don't watch Psych, and I'm a terrible person to admit that, because I was surrounded down there in the front row by psychos, which is, by the way, what the fans call themselves. So here's this panel. It was awesome. First, it's being moderated by Carrie Elwaves. That's right, from Princess Bride. So he comes out on stage, and he starts dancing around the stage. Carrie always, and he's just getting people like, he's getting people to like scream and yell. He's like, why aren't you screaming? Psych's coming up. I guess he was a guest star on Psych from what I understand, but he's getting really excited and he's dancing and they started introducing people. And I felt really sad because the first person they introduced was Corbin Burnson, and he didn't have a name tag for whatever reason. They forgot to. And so he got really sad and he just decided to sit down in the front of the stage and pout. Mm. And that was really funny. And like everybody in this cast is hilarious and they all obviously get along really well.
They've been working together for years.
It's like they're going to be in their ninth season. So mm-hmm. they're all like best friends. Dooley Hill, James Roday. They're all mm-hmm. very talented, very funny people that get along really well. And so the panel was incredibly enjoyable. If you ever get to see a Psych panel, go do it because it's hilarious. They just make you laugh the whole time. I don't even watch the show and I was laughing the whole time. And then I guess one of the episodes next season is going to be the Psych musical, which the psychos are extremely excited about. They actually, James Roday and Dooley Hill were like, hey, do you guys want to hear a little bit of the musical, basically? And they just got up in a cappella style, sang some of the musical, which I know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they sang some of it, just like a minute, a song together, just in the middle of the panel. And I know Ricardo, I believe, posted it on the film podcast website because I was good enough to videotape that for you guys. So you're welcome. And it's really fun. And it's like a minute. So watch it because it's really funny. And Dooley Hill and James Roday are hilarious. And they're actually both very talented singers. Who knew? So that was a really just super fun panel. And I actually might start watching Psych because of it, mm-hmm. which I guess this is going to be the last season, someone was telling me, so I don't know.
Okay. So, I think it's all on Netflix.
Yeah, and I heard that, so I'm gonna.
There's a lot of Psych. There's a lot.
It's like eight. It's eight seasons. 20, like a ton. So we'll see. We'll see how far I get, but it did seem very enjoyable. So then the next panel was one of the ones I was just dying for, and it was so worth it. Sherlock. Okay. So, I mean, we've all been waiting for a long time. If you're a Sherlock fan, it's been like 2 years since he jumped off that roof. All right. And we've been waiting. We need to know why. And we need to know soon. So the panel was Sue Virtue, Stephen Moffat, and Mark Gatiss, the writers, producers, creators of the show. And Benedict and Martin were not there. They both sent videos. And as Moffat said, you know, he's a sociopath and he's a hobbit. So, you know, you really can't expect that much more out of them. But Martin came on and was dressed up as the hobbit and did a little video thanking the fans and saying that he loves working on the show. And as much as we love it, he loves it more. And then Benedict came out and did a video. Well, he didn't come out. They showed a video of him. And his video was very funny. Both of these videos, by the way, are available online. I'll see if we can post links to it, but they are both available online. And Benedict was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to finally be able to tell you guys how I did it. And he gets like a stuffed animal out and he starts showing, and then the video starts cracking and breaking up. So you can't actually hear what he's saying. It's just like every once in a while I'll come through and be like, toaster. Da-da-da-da-da. It's like ghost blah, two of them. And like, and then it's just all breaking up. So you just see him moving around, and then, so you don't actually get to find out. So the exciting part of the panel, however, was Stephen Moffat goes, you guys wouldn't want to see a clip, would you? And of course, the audience goes crazy because it's been 2 years. I mean, Sherlock fans are pretty desperate at this point for anything, please God, anything. So he says, well, I can't show you anything from the first episode because it's too spoilery. Because they're gonna tell you how we did it in the first episode. So they show a clip from the second episode, which we'd known at this point. It's already been out that it's going to be about a wedding. That's what we knew. The second episode was going to be about a wedding. I don't want to go into...
And I'll say that if you've been listening to this, and if you don't want to hear spoilers of any kind, all the different panels will be broken up into chapters. So you could forward to this chapter. Well, actually, go spoiler. We'll spoil it. So you could just hit forward if you have an iDevice, iPhone, iPad, and it'll go into the next panel that she saw, and it won't spoil anything. So if you don't want to know what the spoiler is, you can just forward.
Yeah, so here's the warning. Spoiler alert. Okay, so I did see a clip. And it is about a wedding. And Moffat said in the panel, Watson gets his Mary. Which if anybody's read the books, I mean, it's hard to say there's a spoiler when, you know, these books have been in existence for, you know, 100 and so some odd years. Yes, Watson gets married. He marries Mary Marston. So the clip that they showed was Watson asking Sherlock to be his best man at his wedding. So the wedding is Watson marrying Mary, and they showed a clip, and Amanda Abington, that is Martin Freeman's wife, will be playing Mary. So that's exciting news for all of us out there in the Sherlock world. He will, but then you have these questions, which they didn't answer, which is, if he's married, how is he still going to be roommates with Sherlock? And that was a question that was brought up, and Moffat said, well, there is, you know, they keep saying there's an extra bedroom upstairs. So maybe, I can't even imagine Mary living with Sherlock, but there you go. That might be the answer. Other things, little spoilers that were mentioned, the episode one, Moffat said, will be dealing primarily with, you know, how is John going to deal with the fact that his friend pretended to commit suicide and came back? And like the repercussions, like people in Sherlock's life are going to be like, dude, we thought you were dead, dick face. Not cool. So they're going to actually deal with that, which is not something that was ever really dealt with in the books. The first episode is going to be called The Empty Hearse. And it will be based on The Empty House. But he said it's not really the plot of The Empty House. It's just very loosely in the fact that they both deal with Sherlock coming back after Reichenbach. Other things that were kind of interesting is that Moffat did explicitly say Moriarty is dead. He's like, stop with all the speculation on the internet that Moriarty didn't actually kill himself. He said, yes, Andrew Scott will be in the first episode of season three. He will be a corpse. They said that it was easy that they did get him back, but he is dead. They said he blew his brains out, guys. Like a gunshot wound in the back of the head. Like, he didn't survive this. And Moffat said, what did you guys think? That they were fake suiciding at each other? He's like, no, he's dead, 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 dead. So Moriarty's dead. Stop saying that he might be alive. For the love of God, is basically what Moffat said. They haven't started filming the third episode yet. They're going to come back in July, you know, with the movie schedules and the advertising schedules and all that kind of press schedules that these two giant movie stars have, Benedict and Martin. It's hard to schedule around that. So they have filmed completely the first and second episodes. The third episode, they're coming back to film in July. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else from that panel that was... it was important. And I think that was about it on that. Moffat did ask us kindly, or actually Sue Virtue asked us kindly to not tape or share The Sherlock clips. So I did not do that because they really were very strict about that, that they didn't want it to be shared. And Sue did say it wasn't really even done completely yet. Like, that's not probably going to be the final edit of the scene. Okay, so then the next panel after Sherlock was probably the one I was really there for, considering I was dressed as FBI agent Dana Scully. That's right. It was the 20th anniversary of The X-Files, which was amazing. They had a ton of the writers there, including Vince Gilligan, who, of course, went on to create a little show called Breaking Bad. The showrunner for American Horror Story came out as he was an X-Files writer, so he was there. The showrunner for Homeland.
Who, Brian Fuller?
I can't remember their name. I don't think.
Okay.
I actually did not write down their names, but I know that like the creators of Homeland and American Horror Story were there as well, because they've, or maybe he's just a writer for American Horror Story. Now I might be wrong, but there, I mean, all these, there was a ton of writers there. They had Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny were there, and Chris Carter. So as far as news, well, this is a 20-year-old show and it's been off the air for 10 years. So the only news I can tell you is that there is no third movie in the works. However, Chris, Gillian, and David all gave hard yeses to the fact that they would want to do it. So Gillian's always been the one that was kind of waving on it in the past, but she said yes at the panel. She said yes, she would do it. She said she would not want to do a like comeback as a series, like what they're like the thing that they're doing for 24. She does not want to do that, but she says she absolutely yes does want to do a movie. It was interesting because she said when The X-Files ended, she was actually so exhausted and that she actually almost considered quitting acting, that she wasn't sure she ever even wanted to be on a set ever again. Cause it was such an exhausting 9 years of her life. And that she really did think she would never do TV again. And it took a long time before she did. And now she's doing Hannibal, but she's, you know, started off as a guest act and now is a little bit more than that. But, she doesn't seem keen on being like a lead in a series right now. Like that's not something she's interested in. I know she does a lot of theater. David Duchovny, of course, is a lead on a series. Now, here was another interesting question. Was someone asked if they were going to do anything together outside of X-Files, would they work together? And the response was, you know, Gillian kind of looks at David because Californication's now in its final season, I believe. And she's like, well, apparently no, since he never asked her to be on the show. But David said that he kind of felt that there was something very sacred about Scully and Mulder's relationship that he wouldn't want to taint. And it would have to be a very special project that he can't even think of what it would be for him to want to go against the Scully, you know, do something other than Scully and Mulder with her. So I believe that means that he is a Scully Mulder shipper. I think we can all agree that that's what that means. That's the other thing that Gillian did mention a lot is whenever she was asked what she thought their characters would be doing.
What the fuck is shipping?
It's a fandom term, shipping. It's short for relationship. It's basically Mulder and Scully's ship, if you will.
Like how my only interruption was to drop the F-bomb?
that they're actually considered the original ship. The fandom for the X-Files, which were called X-Files with a PH, and I'm one of those, just loved the idea, wanted Mulder and Scully to get together so bad that they were like always for what they called the MSR, the Mulder-Scully relationship, and that got shortened into them being shippers, that they wanted the ship. So now, if in the world of fandom, if you're on Tumblr, if you see someone like, oh, that's my ship, that means that that's the relationship that they are really pulling for. And shippers are people that are into that relationship. So I'm just saying that I think David Duchovny is a Mulder Scully shipper. It was a really cool panel. Really great to see them together. Gillian Anderson, whenever was asked what she thought Mulder and Scully would be up to, she generally would say something about sex. So she, I guess, is also a Mulder Scully shipper. There you go. And she blushed a lot and was really embarrassed by herself a lot. And she was absolutely adorable. She's also gorgeous. Like, geez, drop dead gorgeous. I was like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. She's like, hurt your eyes. She's so beautiful. So this panel was definitely a really cool panel. I was really excited to be there. I'm so happy I was able to get front row and dressed up as Scully, which was awesome. And then there was one other panel I went to that day after that, and that was the Entertainment Weekly Brave New Heroes panel, which is about similar to the female panel about the heroines. This was Heroes, and this panel was Matt Smith from Doctor Who, Kit Harington, Jon Snow on Game of Thrones, Steven Yeun, who is on Walking Dead, and Tyler Posey, who's apparently on Teen Wolf. I didn't know this, but I was surrounded by Teen Wolf fans, so every time he said anything, they shrieked really loudly. And the last one was David Giantoli from Grimm. And the panel generally should just be called, hey, hot guys from TV panel, because I don't really get the whole Brave New Warriors thing, and just they were just like five hot guys to have on a panel that have nothing in common with each other. And, you know, it was a fine panel in the fact that they were pretty to look at. My favorite thing from the panel was someone asked how they wanted each of their characters to die. And Kit Harington, a.k.a. Jon Snow, had the best answer out of the group, which was he would like to die, his character to die at the age of 85 on a Sunday peacefully with his head resting on an iron chair. And I was like, yeah, and the whole audience went crazy. They were like, yes. And then Matt Smith's answer, which is also kind of interesting considering he does know how his character dies, seeing as his character is going to technically be regenerating at the Christmas show this year. He's like, well, I guess I'd like to see my character be in the TARDIS and slowly raise his head up to the sky and his arms out to the side as light shoots from them. And then I become a woman. And then, of course, the audience also went crazy because everybody wants there to be a female doctor. Overall, the panel was fun. They kind of talked about issues they've had with fans being really excited to see them and like crazy fans and things. But all in all, we didn't learn anything from the panel. That was it. So those were the Thursday panels in Ballroom 20, the TV panels. And then the next day we did some TV in Hall H, and I did that with Jenny and Ricardo. So they're actually no longer on their phones and actually paying attention.
We were paying attention.
I'm just kidding.
We were just doing other things as well. Multitasking.
You're like, we're multitasking? Come on.
I had to tweet a picture of the hand sanitizer with Planet of the Apes on it.
Oh.
Hall H was Friday. And we did mostly movie stuff, but we had two big TV stuffs. Excuse me. We had first thing we had was the Veronica Mars thing, which was a TV show, then became a movie. So if you want to know about that, go over to the film thing, the film Comic-Con film coverage. Sorry, I'm fucking tired. We'll say that this is Monday after Comic-Con, and I'm still really tired.
Well, Jenny actually went to work today, so yeah. She's the one we should really feel sorry for.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Jenny. All right. So the first TV thing we saw was AMC's The Walking Dead. So basically, we saw the trailer for the season.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Well, the one interesting thing I found from the trailer, it does have a little change in tone, I felt. But at the very end.
Different showrunner?
Yeah, it is a new showrunner. At the very end of the trailer, when they're driving in the car, they hear voices on the radio.
Yes.
Like, that's the big reveal, I feel like, from the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, but we don't know if it's a recording or if it's someone actually speaking. Yeah, we don't know anything about you.
Or
just
if
hear
it's
radio.
Even real.
I heard.
Or,
well, it wasn't. It wasn't Rick this time.
Yeah. And there was like four of them.
It was four of them.
So.
It was Daryl, and he's pretty, you know, not crazy.
What if it's Will Smith? And he's like, "Meet me under the Brooklyn Tunnel."
And So there was that, but also we see that they are back in the prison.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because it looks like, well, obviously they didn't show us much of the season, but from the trailer, the whole trailer is pretty much them in the prison, which will be interesting if they decide to do a whole season in one location again. But the nice thing about this one, it's a little different from the farm, is that they're covered in zombies.
There seem to be a ton of zombies.
Way more zombies than usual.
And they're more aggressive.
They're actually like working together. It's not really working together, but they're fighting a fence, pretty much, and working together.
They're more like horde-like than than individual.
Yeah, it seemed like they'd hoard it. Well, also there was the problem that there appears to be in the from the trailer that there's someone in the prison killing people,
manipulating
and manipulating the zombies, and possibly there was hints that he might be that there might be some deaths because of the human, not from a zombie.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, last we left off on The Walking Dead, they inherited a bunch of people from the governor's camp.
So it's a bunch of people they don't actually trust or know anything about. Yeah. You don't know who it could be.
Yeah.
Plenty of people to kill.
Yeah, and the governor came out in the panel, David Morrissey, who I think is an amazing actor.
They did say all bets are off in regards to the governor. Morrissey was saying how it's almost like a switch has gone off in the governor's head, and this season's a lot about him dealing with that.
Yeah, yeah. He's
crazier?
He's gotten crazier.
He was already crazy.
It's
funny because David Morrissey, even last year, he said that he didn't see the governor as a bad person, you know? He's just trying to do best for his people.
Of course.
The best for his people. And that was last season. Everything bad he was doing was for his people. For the survival of his people. And now he doesn't have those people, so he's just all out crazy.
Well, and the writer said that the big thing for them is they don't want anyone to get comfortable. And so as soon as it looks like someone's going to get comfortable, they have to change things up. So things are changing and changing rapidly and quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was The Walking Dead.
I also liked in the trailer Daryl saying, sooner or later, we run. And that was really awesome.
Didn't y'all say he addressed the bad lip reading?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How they loved
it. They all loved it. And someone brought up, they're like, so when are you going to do a musical, Governor? And he was like, I don't think we have room in the show to do a musical episode.
The musical episode with the zombies would be awesome.
But he did the whole symbol with his hands part that's like, Broadway. The part in the lip reading.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
It was so funny. So obviously he's seen it and loves it too.
And
they said that they will answer why they went back to the prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this.
That's good.
And there's going to be more stuff with Carl and him kind of going all psychopath on him.
See, I like his crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was Walking Dead, and then next up was Game of Thrones, which had nothing to show us at all.
Well, because they haven't even started filming.
Yes. I don't know if they had a panel.
Yeah, but last year they hadn't started filming. They could at least give us new characters.
Yeah.
Right. This year they didn't do it. Well, we know that they've cast Mark Gatiss.
Yeah.
Because they said that, but we don't know if Mark Gatiss is going to be Red Viper.
Yeah.
That's what they think.
Oh, the guy from Dorne.
Dorne. That's who they think. That's who people think he's going to be. But I don't know. We know that he's been cast, he didn't come out on the panel. What they started with on this panel, instead of having a clip, since they didn't have anything, is they did an in memoriam of everyone who's died on the show, and it was
in the past three seasons.
Set to yesterday by Boys to Men.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Boys
to Men songs. It was Boys to Men.
Not yesterday, but the other one. Yeah. The other one that we all... the one I'm pretty sure, Jennifer Colatowski, if you're listening to this, that we sang at our 7th grade graduation.
But no new news. I like the moderator. It was Elvis Mitchell from The Treatment, from KCRW, and who's a lot better than the creepy panel last year.
With George R. R. Martin.
Which he just kept... first of all, he sounds like a weird gnome. He's like, remember when I wrote that scene? You were naked. But there's none of that. That was Mitchell's. That's what it sounded like last year. But yeah, so
I didn't really like Elvis Mitchell as the moderator.
I didn't hate him. It's better than the.
Better than that, but not a good moderator.
All right.
So nothing to take away from it.
Nothing to take away
from
it.
There's nothing. There's no new information. I mean,
nice that Richard and...
Richard was there as his farewell.
Caitlin, I don't know her. Michelle, whatever her name is.
Michelle Fairley.
Yeah. It was nice that they were there so you could say, bye to them.
It was kind of like goodbye to
them.
And
then in the middle of Khaleesi talking, Emilia Clarke?
Drakkar Noor.
Khal Drogo.
Khal Drogo came on stage and kissed her and said,
I'm not dead.
I'm still alive.
I'm not dead.
I'm not dead. Sorry. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah, and that was good. Oh, and actually, John Bradley, who plays Sam, had a really great quote about Sam. And it was, when placed under enormous pressure and responsibility, he becomes a bit of a dude.
Yeah.
And I thought, I had to write that down because I was amused so much by that.
Yeah. And known Lena Headey. I like her. She's good looking.
And Peter Dinklage, of course, did get a standing ovation when he
Again,
came out.
Always.
And he was talking about Charles Dance and working with him. He plays, for those who don't know, Tywin Lannister. And he's saying that between every take, Charles comes over and like gives him a shoulder rub to be like, yeah, we're still friends, right? Like yeah. we still love each other, right?
Because the scenes are so intense.
Because their scenes are so intense.
That was all of Friday. Did you see anything Saturday?
No
TV panels.
Or Friday.
I did see Friday panels, TV panels.
What did you see?
I saw Orphan Black. And this was in a tiny, tiny room. I feel like I'm very lucky to have gotten into this panel because when they set up the schedule, nobody knew that Orphan Black would become this huge phenomenon that it has become. Orphan Black, I think most people didn't watch it. And I'm one of those ones who didn't watch it as it was airing. I ended up binge watching it. A couple weeks ago, because I kept having people tell me, you have to watch the show, you have to watch the show. And it was one of those things, like, I was like, all right, fine, I'll watch this damn show. Calm the Christ down. So I ended up turning out, it was one of those shows, like, I just watched episode, it's 10 episodes, so I watched all of them, like, back to back in, like, 3 days. And it is such an amazing show. Tatiana Mansley, who's the lead in the show, plays, I think, 7 or 8 characters, because the show is about clones. And she plays all of her clones. You know, one's British, one's an American soccer mom, one's a German, one's a crazy Ukrainian, one's a scientist.
Oh, she was on the woman's thing.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. And she's very talented. Everyone is like, why isn't she nominated for an Emmy? She's so amazing because she does all these characters. Now, the panel itself doesn't give us any new information because, again, they haven't even started writing the next season. But you could see they had the 3 main cast members. They had Tatiana. They had the guy who plays Felix, who I'm trying to remember his name. I'm sure I wrote it down. Jordan Gavaris, and her name's actually Tatiana Maslany, and he's Jordan Gavaris, who plays Felix, and then Dylan Bruce, who plays Paul. And here's the other shocking thing that I didn't know is the guy who plays Felix is not British, because in the show he's the very effeminate British guy. He's actually Canadian. So everyone's like, whoa, what did you do with your voice? Because that's confusing. It was a fun panel because these are 3 kids that are completely shell-shocked by how popular this show has become. And you can tell they love the fans. One thing BBC America does so well is they know how to really work social media. They've done it really well with Doctor Who and the fact that they have their own official Doctor Who Tumblr blog. And now with Orphan Black, they actually, even the handouts that they gave out were fan art that was on Tumblr, and the Tumblr came up with the name of the fans, because you know every fandom has to have a name, and it's Clone Club. So that's on everything now for Orphan Black, Clone Club, and that's not a name that they came up with. It was something that was invented by, you know, people on Tumblr, and it's like they really know how to grasp onto that, and they do a very good job of it. And they even said like that the both the lead in it, Tatiana, and the producer of the showrunner said that they realized how big the show had gotten because they spent time on Tumblr. And they were like, oh my God, if you do Tumblr, Orphan Black, there's so much stuff. And it's such a good show. I want everyone out there to watch it because it's so amazing. The only thing that was new at all in the panel is they did show us a little making of clip on how they do it, because it's amazing. It's not your old school Parent Trap split screen, use a body double. They do tracking shots. They have shots with three of them, and they touch each other. And it's the same actress. And I mean, it's
they touch each other.
I mean, like literally, like she can, you see her, like if it would be me, like with the same person, like put her arm around her and you see both of them in the shot. It isn't like the typical body double split screen. And it is very impressive. And they talk a little bit about how they did that. And they even, like I said, they have 3 of them in a couple shots, and it's amazing. So that was Friday. I didn't see any TV on Saturday. I did the Doctor Who Tumblr meetup, so I didn't do any panels on Saturday. And I don't think you guys saw any TV on Saturday, right?
No, we didn't.
So that takes me to Sunday, which again, I slept out. because I had to get into the Doctor Who panel. And thank God I did, because if I didn't sleep out, I wouldn't have gotten in. Because they started, because Doctor Who fans apparently are turning crazy, because they started lining up at 1:30 the day before. I got there at 8:30 and I was pretty far back in the line. Before Doctor Who was Supernatural, which I don't watch, but the panels are always enjoyable. Apparently it's something about angels and demons, and the clips are funny. I might eventually someday watch that show. People say I'd like it. And they're adorable, all of them. The next panel was Breaking Bad. And this was their last trip to Comic-Con, because this is the last season. I missed the last half, or the first half of the last season. So I'm a little behind, and I was definitely spoiled a little bit. It's fine. They showed a clip from the, I'm okay. I kind of knew that was going to happen, and I was okay with it. And I'm all right with being spoiled. I'm not that attached to that sort of thing.
Talk about what people want you to talk about. Talk about Doctor Who.
Oh, you don't want to hear about Breaking Bad? Nobody likes Breaking Bad?
I don't want other spoilers. I don't want any spoilers.
Okay.
I haven't seen any seasons of it. So. I don't want any spoilers.
Oh, he's a meth. He makes meth. Crystal meth.
I know. if you want to know more about Breaking Bad,
you can tweet me.
Tweet Michelle at?
And Michelle Coyle.
There you go. And she'll tweet.
And I'll let you know what happened. It was, yeah. I mean, you know, the best part of the panel was Bryan Cranston came out wearing a Heisenberg wig, mask. Like, apparently he'd been walking the floor with a mask of himself.
I heard that, Lord. Yeah.
And nobody, and that's what he came out wearing in the panel.
Matt Smith was walking the floor with
Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson mask, yeah. But Simon Pegg walked the floor in a Stormtrooper helmet. So he apparently actually wore a mask of himself. and that's what he came out wearing. So that was pretty funny and amusing. So then there was Doctor Who. It was amazing. And the fact that they did show the 50th anniversary trailer, which everyone was like, oh, they're going to post it online in a couple hours. And then BBC was like, just kidding, we're not. So I'm sorry. They never posted it online. And Stephen Moffat was very strict with us and said, no one record this. If anybody records this and posts this, we'll never bring anything new to Comic-Con ever again. And as far as I can tell, I kind of did a search online just to see if someone did post it, because I kind of want to watch it again. And I couldn't find it. So I'm hoping maybe people actually stuck to that. So y'all probably want to hear the details about the 50th anniversary trailer. What's happening in the 50th anniversary? Okay, so here's what I gathered, and I've only seen it once, and like I said, I need to see it again to actually figure out what's going on. Yes, we saw David Tennant, and he got a really loud scream because everybody was so excited. And then we saw David Tennant and Matt Smith together, and they're adorable together. And they had David Tennant come into the TARDIS and look around and say, oh, you redecorated. I don't like it. Patrick Troughton did as the second Doctor. So it was definitely a callback. It was a callback. The 11th Doctor did that too. Again, it's a callback to the second Doctor. Gotta love when Stephen Moffat's like, by the way, remember guys, I'm a fan. We see the Daleks. Everyone's like, oh no, they're fighting the Daleks again. Aren't the Daleks getting a little old? But I'm pretty sure from what I could see, it was the Time War. I'm like 99% sure we're talking Time War. So what I believe that means, now this is all conjecture based on like flashes of pictures. John Hurt, I believe, is the Doctor between 8 and 9. And I believe he is the Time War Doctor. They did show John Hurt. We saw Clara crying a lot. Don't know why. We saw Billy Piper dressed in what looks like Elizabethan clothes. And then we see what looks like Queen Elizabeth running through the forest. And then we see Zygons, multiple Zygons. So I don't know. I mean, it was all like, this is like flashes of pictures. It's like Daleks, fire, John Hurt, Billy Piper, David Tennant saying something quirky, Matt Smith saying something quirky too. Oh, and we see David in the TARDIS saying Alon Z. We see Matt Smith in the TARDIS saying Geronimo. So it's like, oh my God, you guys, it's going to be amazing, basically.
When is that happening?
This is going to be November 23rd.
I don't watch Doctor Who, so I don't know what any of that means.
This is going to be the 50th anniversary. Now, okay, the panel was hosted by Craig Ferguson, who is, of course, a huge Doctor Who fan from childhood. Everyone who watches Craig Ferguson knows that. And he started the panel by, like, basically talking, like, how I just talked, you know, about dogs. And he's like, he looks out and he's like, if anyone here is waiting for the Sons of Anarchy panel, you're like going, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Where's the motorbikes? And he's like, yeah, sorry. That's what the next hour is going to be like. And it basically was. On the panel was Mark Gatiss, writer, also plays Mycroft on Sherlock, but he's a writer on and producer of Doctor Who. David Bradley, who's right now really well known as Walder Frey, or Filch from Harry Potter. And he plays a lot of bad guys. But he's going...
Got that. I did not make that. That was the same dude.
Yeah, that's the same dude.
Who's awesome. The guy from Harry Potter. And
It's funny because when Craig Ferguson was like, okay, the next guest, and guys, he specifically said, guys, remember, this is not a Game of Thrones panel, so please don't boo him. David Bradley. And he comes out. and he seems like a really nice guy, from what I gathered. Like, he seems like a genuinely nice guy. He just plays evil characters. but he's going to be playing the first Doctor in a movie called An Adventure in Time and Space, which is a movie about the creation of Doctor Who. And he'll be playing William Hartnell, who played the first Doctor. So he was there. Of course, Matt Smith was there. Jenna Coleman was there. She's the current companion, for those who don't know, Clara. Moffat was there, naturally, Stephen Moffat. It was a lot of fun. There was no surprises. I think that we all kind of, like, secretly, every Whovian in the room was hoping David Tennant would just happen to show up. Although I guess we all figured that if he was in San Diego, we would have known. Other things, someone did ask about Captain Jack and why he wasn't going to be in the 50th anniversary special to Moffat. And Moffat's response was, A, well, I can't fit every character you love in the 50th anniversary special because it's 50 years. And B, how do you know he's not in it? And he says, I've been lying to you guys for the last 6 months, so why do you trust anything I have to say? And I thought that was very telling because I feel
he basically said I'm a liar all the time.
He's a liar. And we all knew that. We've all known that he lies a lot. He's kind of like River Song. He lies because he has to. The doctor lies. That's the number one rule. The doctor lies because he has to. Because he knows the future and he can't say it. So I don't know. Because, you know, we're all like, oh, we're so mad that the earlier doctors aren't in it. But what if they are? And he's just been lying about it this whole time. So anyway, those were kind of a couple of the interesting things that came out. It was really a nice panel. Whenever they introduced someone, we had all the Whovians raising up their sonic screwdrivers, you know, to greet them. And Matt Smith generally is adorable. And it was his last con as the current doctor. And the one thing I have to say about Matt Smith, and it'll be interesting to see who they replace him with, because Matt Smith loves this. He loves coming to Comic-Con. He loves talking to fans. You can tell he really has a good time doing it. He loves going to all the parties. He likes walking the floor. He likes doing that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting with the next doctor to see if it's someone who still can do that so well. Matt's very good at answering questions, even stupid questions, and he's great at doing that. And he never makes people feel stupid. So it'll be interesting to see if the next doctor has that same ability. It was a really nice send off for Matt Smith. You know, there was a big shout from the crowd, from everyone thanking him. And of course he thanked the crowd back. It was nice. Was it worth me sleeping out for? Yeah, since they didn't post the trailer online, I guess it was. Oh, and in the trailer, if anyone did watch it, okay, at the very end of the trailer, there's someone who goes, I'm looking for the doctor. And the voice sounded familiar to me. I didn't place it, and I don't know who it is. So if anyone knows who that character is, please let me know, because I was like, I want to watch it again just to see if I could figure out who is asking for the doctor.
Did it have a Scottish accent? Because it might be Sean Connery.
It didn't.
So I'm looking for the doctor.
It was definitely a familiar voice. So I'm curious as to who that was. If anybody was like, oh, obviously that was blah, blah, blah. awesome. Please let me know.
Or did something like, it's crazy. I'm looking for a doctor.
Okay, so that was awesome. And then after Doctor Who, there was one more panel, and that was Community. And the crowd definitely emptied out after Doctor Who. All the Whovians were like, bye. But then Hall H did fill in with human beings, which is, by the way, what the Community fandom calls themselves. And it was great to have Dan Harmon back. He came out in a homemade Iron Man suit. Which then
Danny Pudi posted a picture on his Twitter of it,
so. And it said "Streets Ahead" on the back. Mm-hmm. And Danny Pudi and Jim Rash followed him out and took it off piece by piece, like Iron Man. It was really amusing. Dan Harmon, there's a couple videos they showed. Joel McHale couldn't be there; he did a really funny video. It was very enjoyable. Dan Harmon's actually obviously very happy to be back show running. In all, it was a fun panel. We didn't learn anything new because they still haven't finished even writing out the outline of the scripts. Dan Harmon says he's going to be going back this week to start writing the first episode. It'll be interesting to see where it goes and how it changes now that Dan Harmon is back. But they didn't have anything to show us. Also, Starburns asked a question at the, like, he what? Went up, it was like they went to him and it was Starburns, and he's like, okay, I have like 15 questions, and his like he's like he had like a sheet, and he's like, first question is, why don't you go fuck yourselves? And he was really funny and very amusing. He asked if Magnitude was going to be back the next season, like, and then he asked if he was really dead. So it was definitely funny, and they were obviously very excited to see Starburns. He's apparently is a writer. Dan Harmon's like, guys, don't feel bad. He's not unemployed. He's a writer on Community. So just so you know, like, he's actually a writer on Community. So he's fine, but it was very amusing. That was probably my favorite part of that panel. Everyone on that. It's a cool group. They were very funny. If you see any of the clips online, it's definitely worth a watch, especially the videos. I don't know if they posted them, but they were fun. So that was it. That was my last television panel, was Community.
We didn't see anything else TV, so that will conclude our TV roundup of Comic-Con. You could find the podcast at The Film Podcast. You could find me on Twitter, I even though I had nothing to contribute to this one, this episode, at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
I'm at Janae, JEHNEIGH.
I'm at Michelle Coyle, that's COYLE.
And I'm at Groat Hardstroke, GROAT Hardstroke.
All right, and you can find all the links and all that stuff to you know, the pictures Michelle took and the video. Of Psych, the musical. You can find all that stuff at thefilmpodcast.com. Sorry. All right. Until next time, have a good week or day. Or if you live in a different, galaxy, have a good long-ass day.